No matter where you are, you voted, right? Yes, it's Texas Standard Time on this Friday, February 28th. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. Early voting in the Texas primaries ends tonight, which means if you miss out, you'll have to wait till the day of Super Tuesday, March 3rd, before casting your ballot. Texas is an open primary state, one of 17 nationwide. So no matter if deep down you're a Democrat or a Republican, you can choose from year to year which primary you want to cast a ballot in. You just show up to your polling location and let them know. Of course, you're stuck in that lane through any runoffs, but that's the way the game is played. Now, if you're running for president, the rules of the game appear to have changed somewhat here in Texas. Used to be Democratic contenders didn't spend a whole lot of time here, since the conventional wisdom was that it's too red to make retail campaigning that much worthwhile for them. But have you noticed how many Democrats are running ads here? Picked up on the big names swinging through Texas, staging rallies, upping their ground game? Massachusetts Senator and one-time Texas law professor Elizabeth Warren is one of them. Since we've been trying to talk to all of the candidates in the presidential race, we couldn't pass up this chance to get her on the record about some issues near and dear to the minds of Texas voters. Senator Elizabeth Warren, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you. It's good to be back in Texas.
I was going to say, this is a bit of a homecoming. I know a few decades back you spent some time in Texas, professor, and if we have a couple of minutes here at the end, I want to loop back to that. But there are some substantive questions we've been putting to all the candidates we've had a chance to talk to so far. Among those issues, Texas, of course, at the center of the debate over immigration and border security. You've just unveiled what you call a border communities plan. What does that involve?
Well, it involves strengthening our border communities and recognizing that these are communities that have existed for a long time and had people who are working on both sides of the border and who need to be acknowledged as such. It's the reminder that immigration does not make our country weaker, it makes our country stronger, and that we need a border plan that is not about someone standing on one side of the border shooting across at someone else. Border communities reflect the best in America, but too often politicians in Washington degrade them and divide them for political gain. So I've got a plan to stop Donald Trump's militarization of the border, to stop his racist wall, and to fight for safe, prosperous border communities. For me, that's what this is all about.
But, Senator, the issue of immigration has been going on for some time, and Congress hasn't yet acted. And, of course, the president and others, this is a bipartisan concern. They're concerned that unless Congress actually takes affirmative steps, that there won't be any real substantive change on the border. What would you do to make things different? Or would you, of course, the Republicans would like to frame this as the Democrats want to throw open the gates, right?
Well, look, my commitment to immigration reform in my first term is rock solid. But you've got to remember, this is about digging in and doing the hard work to get something done. I've been in the Senate now for a full term. I've been there when immigration reform comes up and the filibuster gives a veto to people who don't want to make change. We need to get rid of the filibuster if Mitch McConnell is going to block any change. We need to be willing to stand up and fight for an America that is stronger, and that means for an immigration plan that works. We need to expand legal immigration. We need a pathway to citizenship for the people who are here, and we need to stop the crisis down at our border.
Expanding legal immigration. Of course, you refer to Mitch McConnell. You're talking about the Senate Majority Leader. I want to move on to another issue here. Texans have been faced with several mass shootings in the recent months. Just last year, there were two within weeks of each other in El Paso and Midland, Odessa. You've said you have a goal of reducing gun deaths by 80%, but of course, how do you sell Texans on gun control?
So, once again, look at who government works for. More than 90% of Americans want to see just some basic steps on gun safety in this country. Uniform background checks, getting weapons of war off our streets. And yet, we can't even get a vote in the United States Senate. Why not? Because who's really calling the shots there? It's the NRA and the gun industry. Look, I believe in democracy, and in a democracy, when the majority of people want to see us vote on something and get something done, That's what we ought to be doing. And gun violence is something that's about mass shootings, and I know how people have suffered here in Texas. We have to remember it's also about the shootings that occur every day on sidewalks and playgrounds, particularly that hit communities of color, but never, ever raise a headline. It's also about the lethality of suicides, and it's about the increased likelihood of domestic violence ending in a death if a woman, it's usually a woman, is in a home where there is both an abuser and a gun. Look, we need to treat this as a gun violence problem. There's not going to be a single bill or a single answer. It's a public health emergency. We need to take the steps that are clear and in front of us. We need to keep studying it, and we're going to need to go back again and again until we reduce those deaths. We owe it to our children. We owe it to our brothers and sisters.
Senator,
we need to bring down the death rate.
Are you saying that you would declare a health care emergency over gun violence if you were elected president?
No. I'm saying it is a public health issue, and that's how we have to approach it. It puts our children at risk. It puts our neighbors at risk. There are many, many steps we can take. This is not going to be a one and done. There are some steps that are pretty obvious that we should take now about registration and background checks and getting rid of weapons of war. But for example, the numbers seem to show that just putting a waiting period in place of a few days cuts down death by gun by suicide because people who are given a little more time to think about it and to reach out and get help. That, you know, those are the kinds of things we need to study to make this better.
Forgive me for interrupting you, but I want to make sure that we get to the issue of health care, which I know is close to you. Texas, as you're aware, is home to the largest number of uninsured people in the country. Early on in the campaign, you said you supported Medicare for all, but then in November, you released a plan that called for transitioning to Medicare for all. And I'm curious, why the switch, and how do you see the transition from the current Affordable Care Act to this Medicare for all?
Look, the way I see it, I'll just give you one example. 36 million Americans could not afford to have a prescription filled last year. Think about what that means. 36 million people were sick enough or worried enough to make an appointment, go to the doctor. The doctor looked at it and said, that's a real problem, wrote a prescription, and then the person looked at that prescription and said, it's that or buy groceries. It's that or pay the rent on time. So I approach this as saying we need the most help to the most people as quickly as possible. On day one as president, I will support the Affordable Care Act from the sabotage of the Trump administration, and I will use the power that the president already has to bring down the cost of prescription drugs, drugs like insulin and EpiPens and HIV AIDS drugs and mental health drugs. We can bring down those costs and save Americans hundreds of millions of dollars. I've also shown how we can get universal health care coverage without raising taxes on middle-class families by one thin dime. And that will permit us in the first 100 days to be able to offer full health care coverage for people who want it. For people under 18, they can have it for free. For people whose incomes are below $50,000, they can have it for free. For others, for a modest cost. Let people try full health care coverage, see how they like it, and then we'll vote on Medicare for All. And I think people are going to vote to say this is a good system and we like it. But at each point along the way, we're making the system better. Better for the people who need health care coverage across Texas and across this country.
I want to ask you one final thing, and this has to do with a former fellow presidential candidate, a certain HUD secretary and Texan who's been a strong supporter of yours since he dropped out of the race. Senator, if you do become the nominee, what do you think about Julian Castro as a running mate?
Oh, I think Julian is terrific. Now, look, it would be presumptuous of me to be talking about a vice president at this point, but I got to tell you, I've known Julian for many, many years and worked with him when he was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and worked with him after that. Integrated many of the plans from his presidency into mine. I was deeply honored when he endorsed me and didn't just endorse and sit back, really got into the fight, because Julian and I share a vision of an America that doesn't just work for rich people, but an America that builds real opportunity, real chances for prosperity, not just for some of our kids, but for all of our kids. That's why we're in this fight, and I'm loving fighting it with my partner, Julian Castro.
Senator Warren, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to talk with us on the Texas Standard, and enjoy your time in Texas.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm having fun.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat hoping to challenge Donald Trump in November and win Texas delegates on Super Tuesday, speaking with us just before a campaign event in San Antonio on Thursday. You can hear more of our conversations with the presidential candidates at texasstandard.org.